Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this monthly comic spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to have a discussion on some of the comics we got in December 2020. James, how you doing tonight?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, this would have been Weekly Comic Spotlight 700 if we'd kept doing those episodes.
Yeah, we went away from the Weekly Comic Spotlight with the pandemic. But yeah, I've been around for quite a few of those. Not all of them, but a lot.
quite a few. This is episode, I think, 1844 overall. And it's funny, because I kind of do miss the Weekly Comic Spotlight episodes, but man, this new format of back issue spotlights and the monthly comic spotlight, it's just way easier on me.
It's easier on me, too. Like, the Weekly Comic Spotlight was fun, but just the planning ahead, it's so hard to plan with what's coming out with DC, especially since we don't get a list of what's actually shipping now with the distributors and everything. It would be so hard to plan. And, you know, like, let's say we planned on Detective Comics number, you know, whatever it is, and then it gets bumped a week, and we don't know that because we don't get a shipping list. It just makes it hard, but this format, it's fun, and it makes our lives a little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, it allows me to work a little further in advance, so there's some weeks I just don't have to edit.
Yeah, you know? Makes life easy.
And there, you know, I was able to take a week or two off for, you know, the holidays and stuff. That was nice, too.
I agree. It was nice not having to record.
Yeah.
And I did want to say congratulations, though, on 700, if that would have happened. So congratulations. You did a great job. Proud of you.
Well, it's 700 weeks without missing an episode on a Monday.
Which is an insane thing.
I take it back. There may have been one or two that it shifted to the Tuesday because, you know, shipping delays at end of a year or something like that or what have you. But yeah, 700 weeks in a row of episodes each and every week.
That's awesome. And really, you need to be commended because I can't think of another podcast that's that consistent.
Well, there are a few, but not in the comics realm. And the ones that have done it in the comics realm have not done it with the same people the entire time.
Wow.
And granted, I've swapped out co-hosts and stuff, but I've done an episode every week for 700 weeks.
For over 13 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
It's fun, but it does get a little tiring at times.
Thank you for your service, John.
Yeah, I do what I can. Now, I got 25 comics from DC in December.
Okay.
A fair number of them were part of that Endless Winter stuff.
I'm the same. I received 20 comics from DC, and I was all in on the Endless Winter because I figured if I wasn't getting those, I really wasn't going to be getting hardly anything from DC.
I was not all in. I did not pre-order or get Aquaman, I guess it was 66, and the Justice League Dark issues.
Oh, okay. I got all of them, so even though I'm not reading those titles any longer.
Yeah, I dropped Aquaman a while back, and I think I only got a couple issues of Justice League Dark, so yeah, I dropped that a while back.
Yeah, Aquaman used to be one of my favorite titles when Dan Abnett was writing it. And I like that whole, anytime they have like a character who's like ruling an empire, and so you're dealing with the political intrigue of the empire and ruling, and also you tie in some superpowers, which is kind of cool. I think it's a lot of fun. But they kind of went away from that, and they went to a family story, which is all fine and good, but it just, I lost a little bit of interest. That's when I dropped off.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Endless Winter? Because all of it happened in December.
I have mixed results. There were some of the books that I liked, some of the books that I'm just like, this is okay. A couple that I didn't like at all. I thought it ended well, but it did feel like a filler event, but I felt like it ended on a positive note.
Yeah.
How about you?
I can agree with it, you know, ending on a decent note, but I guess for me, it started out as kind of a halfway interesting story.
Yeah.
The Flash, I felt, was kind of out of character, you know, trying to figure out this work-life balance thing that hadn't really seemed to be a big deal for him in his own title.
Yeah.
And while it was Barry, it actually read a little bit more like Wally.
Yeah.
So, the other thing is I felt that it was weird, because it was 9 chapters of a story
but it really suffered from middle chapter syndrome almost throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I felt it was moving slowly, and there was such an initial focus on the Flash that it's like, is that going to continue? And then he just kind of gets pushed to the side for a bit.
That's what I was wondering, too, because I thought it was going to be a Flash-centric event, but like you said, he was key at the beginning, and then he got pushed aside as they kind of brought the focus into other characters. And the way it ended, I guess the only repercussion may be a Black Adam-type thing, and I don't know.
It was nice to see Black Adam, but when they kept cutting between the current day stuff and their equivalent to the Avengers BC or whatever, you know, of this makeshift quasi Justice League from, you know, a century or, you know, a millennium back or whatever. I don't know. It didn't really work for me. It wasn't horrible, but in the middle in particular, this is just another chapter of a longer, but not really larger story, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, and it did feel like, I felt like, okay, it was a decent enough story, and when I say decent, I'm not saying good, I'm just saying decent, okay, but at the end of it, I felt like I could have skipped it, and I wouldn't have missed anything, and I don't think it's going to have long-term repercussions on the DCU, other than that thing with Black Adam, but I really don't see that as a thing, you know? I think that'll change down the road. But I saw it. It felt like even the solution was kind of like a little bit of a cop-out.
Yeah. And I think some of it was kind of telegraphed early on.
Yeah. And it was so funny. I think, what was the first episode or issue? Do you remember?
It was
Justice League?
Justice League Endless Winter number one.
Yeah. And I think we see Superman. And one of the weirdest things there is they have to telegraph to you, these things are not even living creatures. I can be Superman, you know, and he starts smashing him to pulp. But it was just kind of like, that was a little bit of corny for me. I was like, okay. So it didn't start on the best foot. And then the middle chapters were kind of like, okay, I didn't know where it was going. They did that Justice League BC thing. I don't know what they're doing. And then it ended okay, well enough. But it's one of those things where I'm like, if you want to fill a winter, it's cool. And if you want to read the books, it's cool. If you want to skip it, you're really not missing anything. That's what I would tell people.
Yeah, this is a self-contained event that I doubt will have any lasting repercussions, particularly since we're going into future state and stuff right after it. And it's not something that I think people should necessarily go seek out in the trade unless they're particularly interested in, you know, a Black Adam or, you know, maybe Viking Prince or somebody who just doesn't get a lot of screen time otherwise.
Exactly. This would be, get that kind of like, it's a pass grade, you know, it's not something you should seek out.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
But it really read like it was written for the trade, and the individual issues I didn't find particularly satisfying.
Yeah. What was funny is I haven't been reading Aquaman, but I did like the Aquaman issue. Mm-hmm. And I know you didn't get that because that's where those lava men came from. So that was kind of a fun read a little bit. It made me, oh, this is nice. But it all depends on what's coming out on the backside of this whole future state of whether I'm going to pick up an Aquaman book or not, you know?
The impression I'm getting, having kind of glanced at the January solicits, is a lot of the titles are picking up with new arcs, but not like a new universe. But it's hard to tell.
Okay, so we may just be picking up where we were, and who knows?
I don't think we're picking up exactly where we left off.
Bounced a little bit.
It seems like nothing more than just, you know, well, we shifted creators, so this is the new creator's take on this character.
Okay. And I haven't even glanced at the January solicits, honestly, so which is weird. I still have to record my preview spotlights pick, so I'll probably be looking at it tomorrow.
Now, I could be wrong, or, you know, it could turn out to be a massive, you know, reboot and change like that when it comes out and stuff like that, but based on the solicits, it feels surprisingly a lot like status quo with the usual sorts of changes.
So a big to-do, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a big, big thing going forward.
I don't know, but I think once I've read the finale of Dark Knight's Death Metal and maybe that Generation Shattered or whatever it is, maybe that'll give us a better sense of what may be coming out of Future State. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. So, you know, I got all this Endless Winter stuff I mean, did you read anything else that you found interesting? Because I felt like a lot of the titles I was reading kind of went to that, we're taking a pause here, or here's a little filler story. That was my reading, like Batman 104 and 105.
Yeah, we're getting more backstory on Ghostmaker and stuff, and where that ended up was an interesting twist that I didn't see coming and doesn't totally make sense.
Yeah.
And also kind of implied what's after Future State isn't a complete reboot. I thought those issues were okay, but it just seemed like, well, I get where they're going, trying to set up Ghostmaker and stuff. It seemed to undercut Batman a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wasn't crazy about those. Those were okay.
That's the way I felt.
For me, the highlights were Nightwing 77.
Okay.
It was a nice kind of holiday-themed issue. Doesn't really fit to what's going on anywhere else in the Batman titles, but it was a good issue, and I really liked the cover and stuff. And it's Nightwing being kind of, you know, Nightwing and stuff, so that was nice. And then, surprisingly, Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Secret Origin. Man, what a easy-to-roll-off-the-tongue title it isn't. That was a fun read and gave Superboy Prime kind of a happy ending, which he hadn't really gotten since the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Ah.
What, 35 years ago now?
Well, see, I did not read that one. That's one of the ones I didn't get. So that one was pretty decent.
It was decent. It was a good read. I liked it. But I'm not saying I'm crazy about the whole Dark Knight's Death Metal stuff to begin with.
Yeah, me neither. It just really hasn't done anything for me. Like, I got two of them. I got the Tales from the Dark Multiverse Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for it that much. It was just so-so. And then I got the Dark Knight's Death Metal number 6 itself. And that, I just really didn't care for it.
Yeah, that one didn't work particularly well for me. I mean, a DC event should get me excited. This one hasn't. It's just too dystopic, and I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah, it's like, it seems like I watched all this weird stuff just to come to the conclusion that it all happened, it all matters. I'm like, all right, why did we go through all this crazy exercise just to say that? I'm like, okay.
Did you get the Tales from the Dark Universe or Dark Multiverse Crisis on Infinite Earths one shot?
No, I started cutting off some of those one shots because earlier on in the event, I was really not enjoying it, so I cut off the ones that I'm like, I've got the Flashpoint one, but I cut off a lot of those.
Understandable. I was a little frustrated by that when I got it, because, you know, the Crisis on Infinite Earths part of things. And it's something that, in a maybe not-so-dark multiverse, could have really been a home run for me.
Huh. 'Cause
it had the All-Star Squadron, it focused on Earth 2 characters, it stuff I love.
Yeah.
But it was dark, it was a little graphic in places. There were a few things that felt kind of derivative of really Marvel-type stuff. Matter of fact, I can think of two or three things specifically that it's like, yeah, I've seen that over, you know, in this Marvel title or that Marvel title. And it was a depressing ending, which kind of fits the dark multiverse aspect, but it was really even more depressing just how much it was riffing on Marvel versus DC.
Wow.
Matter of fact, there's another aspect that really riffed on the Marvel aspect, and I'm like, dudes, figure out where you're writing for. I really wish it just had a better artist. The art wasn't bad, but if it had had somebody with a cleaner style, more to my liking, again, it really could have done better. For me, it was just barely kind of that C+ kind of level, and it's like, it had the potential for doing better for me.
That makes sense. Now, one thing I know you didn't get, but I thought was decent, was Deceased Dead Planet number 6. Still a very good title. Not something that you would enjoy with the whole, I guess you could call it a zombie type theme, but I'm enjoying it. I think it's a lot of fun. Now, did you also read, hold on, there's one on my list and I want to pull it out. Batman Annual number 5.
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that? Because I enjoyed it.
I thought it was okay, but we kind of already knew the origin of Clown Hunter.
I know. I'm like, why are we doing the origin when we know?
Well, and this version makes Harley kind of much less at fault for certain things than was kind of previously implied.
Yes.
So I don't remember who wrote that, and it just, I don't know, it felt a little out of step and not redundant, but kind of, sort of.
It did feel a little bit redundant. I was like, why are we visiting this? And it was a long book. I mean, oversized, you know, $4.99 book. But I felt like we had already had his origin. This is a little bit more detailed, where you're seeing, you know, what's going on with the family and everything like that. But I did like at the end how you saw the, I guess, the therapist, the community therapist, if you want to call her that, the doctor.
The doctor, Leslie Tompkins, who's a major Batman character.
Yeah, so I did like seeing her, and I like seeing her with Clown Hunter, and I also like seeing her interact with Bruce. So that made me enjoy it a little bit. She's very clever. I feel like this is, when I read this, and I know that's not the character, I kept thinking, this could have been the Batman future state, you know, the guy who's going to be the Batman in the future. Because he has that similar upbringing, and he has that same, I'm broken, you know, needing this person to talk to, but too hard to listen. So I just saw him as the future Bruce Wayne, even though he's not.
I could see that, though, because at that point it becomes a redemption arc.
Exactly. So I think this character could be a good thing, a big thing, especially if they one day, not permanently, but a period of time, kind of push Bruce to the retirement side with, you know, for whatever reason. I know they had that Catwoman Batman thing going on that I'm not reading by Tom King. But if he kind of, you know, takes a step back, we could focus on this character and have a similar type trope going. Yeah. So anyways, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah. For me, most of the stuff was just kind of okay.
Yeah, that's what I would say. 90%. Most of what I read was okay. Some of it was good. Some of it was not very good. But it was all just, it was kind of average.
Well, and there were a couple of things that felt like kind of abrupt endings to stories. Not too many, but one or two where it's like, well, I guess they need to kind of cap this off to make room for future state, and then they'll pick up kind of afterwards.
Yeah. Action Comics was not that good, I didn't think.
I thought it was an okay ending to Bendis' Superman run, but it kind of bounced just all over the place.
It did. I was like, okay, I can't read this. Being ADD, it's all over the place. But yeah, it was. It was a kind of a bit of a mess.
But nothing that was, well, I was going to say nothing that was particularly horrible, but that Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Last 52 War, The Multiverses.
Was that bad?
That was bad.
Really bad.
It was an anthology. I didn't like most of the stories, didn't like most of the art. Overall, it was a depressing issue. That was one that I really should have kind of done what you did and skipped some of the one-shots.
Yeah. Quick question on that, not to take you off topic too much. Going forward, DC's doing a lot of anthologies. Do you like that idea?
No.
Me neither. Okay. I'm kind of concerned because I'm afraid that, okay, like I want to pick up the Batman book, but there's, you know, another clump of stories at the end of it, and I'm just like, I don't want to read those stories. I don't want to pay for those stories. Can I just read Batman? And I feel like I'm being forced to maybe overpay for books I want to read.
That's part of why I don't like the anthology format. And there's kind of two kinds of anthologies that they're going to be doing. There's stuff like The Truth and Justice that seems to be each issue will be a different character but full-length story.
Yeah.
And then there's others, so it's an issue-by-issue anthology. And then there's some that are almost more like the Marvel Comics Presents format or Dark Horse Presents format of multiple serialized story in installments over multiple issues.
That's the kind I hate.
Yeah. Because that's where you feel like, again, you're subsidizing the stuff you don't, or you're being forced to pay for the stuff you don't want for the thing you do want.
Exactly. And it leaves me feeling frustrated all the time because I feel like I'm paying more and getting this little story. And usually they're only a few pages long. There's no momentum to them. I don't really care about them. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm being taxed at that point.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did over the holidays was kind of rebuild part of my system I use for doing a first pass on my order form.
Oh, okay.
Because I've got it automated, because otherwise, you know, I've been missing. It broke when DC stopped releasing information.
Ah.
And it's taken a while for the other distributors to, okay, here's the series code and stuff like that. Because that way I can say, okay, I'm getting Nightwing. So if you see this series code in the solicit, tag it as something I should be getting, you know. And as part of doing all of that, I basically took that list of titles I had and said, okay, you know, there's a couple I know I'm going to keep getting, a couple that haven't come out for a while, but if they come out again, I'm going to keep getting. And then tagged, I removed a lot of things because some of them ended or you know, like Metal Men ended this month and stuff like that. But then I also tagged each title with if it is something that I am just getting on a regular basis until something changes. If it is something that I'm just going to complete because it's a miniseries or otherwise ending. Or if it's something that is an issue-by-issue decision.
Yeah.
Meaning it stays on the list, but each one, it's like, think about this one before ordering it. And then there's the case-by-case, which is for like an anthology that every issue could be somebody different or a different creative team, you know, kind of thing. And then there are a couple where it's like, yeah, this is something I'm dropping or something like that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I'm at the point where in 2021, things are kind of having to re-earn their position on my list. But I didn't cut like everything and start over because there are a couple. It's like, yeah, I know I want these.
Yeah. Well, interesting you say that. With me, I actually had quite a few books on here, but I was surprised because I went through things that I was already kind of cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though the number's higher, there's a lot of them that I'm still getting those trailing books coming in, but I've already canceled the book. You know, I'm not getting it anymore. So the indies got hit kind of hard. I actually cut some Marvel books. DC didn't get anything cut, but they cut everything for me. So it's kind of like a restart for them.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple that I'm uncertain if I'm going to keep getting or not. And so I'm putting a lot of titles kind of on probation or whatever.
I can see that. I've been doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we move on to Marvel?
Let's do that.
What were the highlights for you?
Highlights. Okay. I'm looking through my scores. First one. Okay. I'm going to talk about something and then I'll get into some other ones that you'll want to talk about. I really love King of Black number one. And I know you did not get King of Black, correct?
Correct. I am sitting that one out for the most part.
Okay. Venom was kind of like, it started off really great and it kind of lost momentum for me in the later issues. And I was actually contemplating, do I want to keep reading Venom? King of Black came up, and I thought issue one was really, really strong, really good, fun read, huge event. Donny Cates doing his thing. Issue two was still good, not nearly as good as the first issue, but I'm enjoying those. But some of the other books that I really enjoyed, Black Cat number one, did you get that?
I liked that a lot. I thought it was a fun issue, kind of setting up that next big score.
Yeah, I really like that. And they called it a King of Black tie-in, but it kind of really wasn't, but it kind of was.
It wasn't in any sort of way that bothered me, sitting out the event. So yeah.
Exactly. It didn't ruin it, so you could actually skip King of Black, even though they call it a tie-in. So that I like it when they do tie-ins like that. And then I also really liked, I don't think you're getting this, Black Widow.
No, not getting that one.
Okay, this has been a really good title, and it kind of came out of nowhere. Just so you know, we kind of talked about had that whole Aquaman twist with the and the Nightwing thing, the memory thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done very, very well. It's been a really strong title. I think it's really good. It's something that I would tell you to pick up, but I know you are limiting what you're reading. But I thought that was very, very strong, and I've been enjoying it. The other ones that I really liked. Let's see, down here I have Thor number 10. That's another one you're not getting. I'm sorry, I'm picking out all the ones you're not reading.
It's okay. That's why I have co-hosts. I don't read everything these days. So
Donny Cates, we reviewed the first six. He's up to issue number 10. And we're focusing on the alter ego Donald Blake. And it's having a really profound impact on Asgard and the Asgardians. And we see a big change with Sif in the book. And at the end, my stomach dropped a little. I'll just say that. I was like, ugh. So it was really a cool story. I've really enjoyed it. And then beyond there, there's things I like, but those were like my highlights. What were your highlights?
Well, we talked about Black Cat. I would say Fantastic Four was really the best of the bunch for Marvel for me this time.
Fantastic Four. I did like that one.
Now, they've got this new foe that I don't know how they're going to take down, but I have faith that the story will have a good solid ending.
Me too.
And the stakes are high, and I think Slott's just doing a great job on that title.
I think Dan Slott moving off of Iron Man and onto Fantastic Four was the best move I've ever seen, because his Iron Man, for me, was not fun to read. And Fantastic Four, that's just his voice. And it is such a fun title now. I love it every week, or every month.
It's a good fit for him and for the book, too.
Yeah. It feels like the Fantastic Four is relevant, and it's kind of funny. You know, before Marvel or Disney picked up the Fox Studios. Mm-hmm. You remember how they stopped printing Fantastic Four, and it was so weird. The X-Men were kind of pushing the background for the Inhumans.
Yeah.
So it's so nice being like, wow, we have a really good Fantastic Four. The X-Men are hot. I'm like, yeah, I'm enjoying Marvel because of that.
I'd kind of like to see them do a mini quasi-event where you've got the Fantastic Four and the X-Men going up against the Future Foundation and the Inhumans.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that.
And have, for some reason, the Future Foundation and the Inhumans on, like, the right side of things.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
And you'd almost have to tell some sort of a story quasi about discrimination.
Yep, you would.
It's like, why are we always the second class citizens? Yeah.
Why not you guys?
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
It'd be funny.
Yeah. Now, we got a very weird title. Another what I like to call COVID book. Spider-Man number 5 came out by, I can't remember his name, the famous guy. Was it
J.J. Abrams and his son Henry.
J.J. Abrams. That's what it was. And I was like, I forgot that was even coming out.
That was not delayed because of COVID.
Okay, what happened to that?
That was just delayed. COVID didn't help. Yeah.
That log, holy mackerel.
Decent ending to the story, but again, those pre-pandemic delays did not help the story momentum for me at all.
At all. When you delay it that much, now you've lost all the momentum. At that point, I'm like, okay, it was a good ending, but you're going to get a lower score because I can't remember what happened at the beginning, hardly.
I don't think there's any reason for a 5-issue miniseries, particularly by a high-profile Hollywood guy who may have other commitments. There's no reason not to stockpile those things and have them all in-house before you release the first.
I would agree. I agree with you completely. Now, one thing I felt, and I don't know if you felt this, okay, we had the big X-Men event, the X of Swords,
mm-hmm.
or Ten of Swords, whatever you want to say.
Crossing of Swords, or yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, it felt like most of the books were taking a breather this time when they came out. Did you feel like that?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
They weren't bad. Like, there were some of them that were good, and some that were just like, okay. But it felt like, okay, they're just breathing, and okay, we got to move to the next arc. But it felt like this was a, ooh, come down from this thing that happened.
Yeah, I think there was an aspect of these things either doing the breather issue or teasing the next arc. I only really felt one of them started dealing with the aftermath of X of Swords, and that was X-Men itself.
That's the one, yeah. X-Men, my note says aftermath, where you're dealing with the islands and
mm-hmm.
the populations and the language that's going on. And that one, I was like, everything else, they're like, they called it like an aftermath. And I'm like, how is this an aftermath? It seems like it didn't really happen. You know, people might say something, but it didn't really happen. So that was kind of weird.
What did you think of Wolverine number 8, which was the 350th issue anniversary?
I would have given it like a B. So I said it was a fun anniversary issue, but it didn't feel like an anniversary issue. And we got to see Maverick and the return of, I don't want to say it without ruining it, but a version of Wolverine that I saw a long time ago mm-hmm. at the very beginning of his book, which I thought was really cool.
I thought it was an interesting issue. I didn't really like the first story. I didn't like the panel layout in story 2. It reminded me of Tetris or whatever.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, the art in the story was fine, but it felt like it was an odd combination of discrete individual chapters, almost like an anthology, yet it was kind of sort of a single story.
That's the thing. It was weird. It's a single story, but they kind of broke it up weird.
Yeah, it seemed to have almost the worst of both sides of that. I'm not sure how they managed that.
I didn't know if it was. What was weird is it's one creative team. It wasn't multiple creative teams. So I'm like, technically, it's not an anthology, but they kind of broke it up weird.
Was it the same artist throughout?
I don't remember, honestly, for the life of me.
Because there was, at least in that second chunk, the panel layout was atrocious. The story art was fine, but the panel layout, it's like, how do you expect me to read this? I'm an experienced comic reader. I know a couple of people in particular that would have just been baffled by, okay, where do I go next?
Yeah, and if you're a newer comic reader, you're completely up the creek. Like, yeah. I'm trying to look through it. I hate it when they don't put the creative team at the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm like, I don't know. But it was weird. It was like an anthology, but it wasn't. Okay, when I get to the middle, it says Ben Percy is the writer, of course. Adam Kubert was the artist. And Prologue... Oh, okay. Prologue War Story. It's the same writer, but it was different artist. My bad. So,
okay, I figured it had to be, given particularly that one chunk.
Yeah, so it's the same writer, but it's a different artist. Okay, that makes sense. Because it did look different. I didn't know if he was just doing something different, because it was completely weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, did you like that character at the end, what they showed? Or did you not like it?
By that point, I was just...
You were checked out?
It kind of checked out a little bit, because it was feeling like this was, again, multiple chapters of different stories, yet it was all kind of tied together, just not well.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I understand you. So, did you like that Maverick or no?
Maverick's okay, but they were doing some callbacks to some older eras of Wolverine, which I like and I respect that they do.
Yeah.
That, but not ones eras that I particularly loved or characters I felt they particularly needed to bring back.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that thing at the very end, when I saw that character, it reminded me of Hulk issues, when I read the Hulk. Mm. And that's where I'm nostalgic for it, is like the Hulk with that character, because I had the Gray Hulk, the Mr. Joe Fix-It.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the old versions of Wolverine, you know, the Samurai, you know, you got different things, that, you know, characters he's been over the years, even Western-type Wolverine, but I'm really not too keen on most of them.
Yeah, and he's gone through different eras and stuff. So again, doing callbacks to some of those is kind of cool, but I don't know how well some of that fits in the current day.
Yeah. See, so, now, just so you know, some of the mutant books that are really on the border for me of, like, I don't know if I'm going to stay with them, were, let me see, there's a few of them I had in here. Okay, New Mutants, I don't know if I'm sticking with that. Hellions, I don't know if I'm sticking with that. And the other one is X-Factor. So those three, I don't know if I'm going to stay on those.
I can understand that. Hellions, I think, is probably the weakest X title for me right now. It's got some interesting stuff, but if I had to cut an X title, that'd be where I'd start.
Yeah.
That particular issue of X-Men had kind of a painted art style that just didn't work for me. And then there was one character that seemed to be kind of hiding on the island, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it was an okay issue. And what was the other one you mentioned? X-Factor or X-Force?
X-Factor, and then what was the other one I had on here? New Mutants. Are you enjoying New Mutants?
But that's
no?
The one I was just mentioning, the painted style.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, X-Factor, number 5.
Yeah, X-Factor, that one kind of meandered a little bit with a quote-unquote reveal at the end to set up the next arc. And it's
that's
like, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I was being too rough and saying, hey, it's like the breather issue. But I was like, why am I reading this? That's what I felt when I got there. It's like, I feel like I'm wasting my money.
Yeah, there was an aspect on some of these where it was very much, I don't want to say marking time or whatnot, but they needed to have a little bit of, like you said, a breather between, you know, what had gone and what's going on, and kind of setting up the next arc and stuff. And I didn't feel that particular issue had a strong direction, but I felt X-Force was just a teaser for the next arc.
Yeah.
And not much more than that.
That's where I was. Now, we got some things that I think you were getting. Are you still getting the Avengers?
I am. That is one of those titles I'm putting on that issue-by-issue basis of, yeah. I don't know how long I'm going to stay.
Because 39, I felt like, okay, this arc ended better. And then 40, I was like, oh, it's really losing me again. The Enter the Phoenix.
Yeah, I thought the 39 with kind of the Avengers BC stuff was okay.
Yeah.
But it's not the modern Avengers, you know? I mean, I'm curious if we're going to see one or two of those characters again. But I'm also kind of curious when we're going to see a more standard Avengers title again.
Yeah, I agree.
And then with 40, I mean, it just seemed to be an excuse for random fights with the Phoenix Force as a prize.
I did not like that at all. I was like, it didn't feel like it was, it was a dud for me. I felt like why am I reading this title when I got to 40? 39, I was like, okay, this is okay. It's not the main Avengers. We're dealing with that 1 million BC. But at 40, I'm just like, not good.
Yeah, 40, I almost felt like I'd missed something coming into the issue.
Me too. Now, I forgot to mention this. We were back on the mutant stuff. Did you get the sword number one, which is part of that?
I did, and I thought that was one of the better things this month. I thought it was a good issue. Didn't really understand the significance of that object they retrieved, but it was nice to see some more use of mutant powers in conjunction with one another.
I like that. So that would have been like a B+ book, and I really enjoyed it. That was a nice start for that series. So that sword, I was like, oh, this is a good one. Nice.
Another one I really enjoyed was second issue of Taskmaster.
Oh, I'm not getting that. How was it?
It was fun and a believable encounter between Taskmaster going up against Hyperion and surviving. Which, if you think about it, you've got I don't want to say a wannabe Batman. Taskmaster isn't that. He's better in some respects, worse in others. But he's a guy.
Yeah.
Hyperion's essentially Superman.
It's like, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's like when they did an issue ages ago of Punisher going up against Hyperion. Not much of a contest there.
If he doesn't get the right bullet, it's over.
Exactly. It all comes down to the bullet, and that's it. And does he get off a sneak shot before, you know, Hyperion finds out? Because otherwise, it doesn't matter, the bullet.
He'll see the bullet coming and you're still dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Now, another one that I got, which I know you did not get, but I just want to mention it for the fans out there. King Size Conan came out, which it was a celebration of 50 years of Conan at Marvel. Not 50 years of the character, but Conan being at Marvel, which was Conan when he first came into comics was at Marvel. Marvel licensed it, or before that it was just books, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool. The bad thing is, there's a good and bad thing. We got Roy Thomas, we got Kurt Busiek, we got Steve McNiven on the art, Jesus Saez, I guess his name is. It was really cool. It was an anthology, so what happened was, I loved three of the stories, and two of them were like, eh. So I hate the anthology things, but it was for the celebration, which I thought was really nice, and they said, hey, this is for 50 years and blah, blah, blah. So the anthology for the big anniversary I'm okay with. Don't do it every month.
It's funny because ages ago I had an idea for publishing a comic, and there was an aspect of it that would have at least artistically been something of an anthology.
Ah.
Because artists can only do so many pages at a certain speed and such. But the way I would have done that would have been to have it be kind of a stealth anthology where you do have one overall story. But over the course of an issue, you're going to have a little time with this character, a little time with that character, a little time with this other character. And again, you can kind of shift the artist around at that point. But to do that, you've got to have a compatible style. And I think having it read like one story makes the difference. Because otherwise, it's like, well, this is the chapter I wanted, this chapter I didn't want.
That makes all the difference in the world, because if you can make it read like one contiguous story, now you got me hooked and you're not losing me. Where if you're like writing 75% of the book and I'm loving that story, and then you throw 25% and what is this? I don't like it. And that's when you lose me. It's something completely different.
Yeah, even if it features the same character, if it's a discrete story, it's a separate thing.
Yeah, correct. So King Size Conan, I gave him it's okay because it's an anniversary issue, but yeah, it's not something that's my favorite. And another thing that I did get, which is such a weird book, but I don't know why I enjoy it every time I read it. I think it's fun, is the most ridiculous Savage Avengers. Numbers 15 and 16 came out, and it's freaking Conan with Marvel characters, and I don't know why, but it's really fun. fun book.
Glad you're enjoying that. That was one I never even bothered to sample.
No, and I think, and it keeps going. I'm like, are they ever going to cancel this thing? And apparently there's people reading it, and I'm just enjoying it, and I don't know why I enjoy it, because it's absolutely ridiculous, but it's got that funny tone. You know, comedy, it's so hard to do in comics or in anything. And the comedy that they use in there, it makes me laugh.
I'm curious how or if they'll be able to reprint that if they eventually lose the license for Conan again.
That will be, that could be a high-dollar book, possibly.
Because there's a couple of things, like the S.H.I.E.L.D. Essential and stuff. It was the S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Godzilla one? I think it was the Godzilla one that has S.H.I.E.L.D. I just don't remember what they titled it. That they couldn't reprint when they didn't have the license for Godzilla.
Kind of like Micronauts, too, right?
Exactly.
Micronauts is gone forever.
some of the characters still inhabit the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But only the ones they had created and have the rights to.
Very true. So I'm curious about that, too. Now,
I should go through the that hardcover Marvel handbook I've got that they just did the omnibus of, because there were some characters in there I think they may not have retained the rights to, like the Micronauts and stuff. I'll have to check at some point.
Yeah, let me know. One other thing, I know you're reading it, or I don't know if you're still reading it. You got the last Atlantis Attacks number 5, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, did you like it or no?
Well, it ended sort of the story that started in Agents of Atlas and flowed directly into this title and seems to be flowing directly into the King in Black Namor that I'm not getting.
I know.
So I'm done with it. It was an okay read.
It was goes into King of Black, and I'm like, it didn't feel like it was ever meant to be a tie-in into King in Black. Why is it saying King in Black? And it's there was another book that came out, all those British characters, the Something Core. I didn't buy it, but they made it a King in Black tie-in. I'm like, this was solicited before COVID, and I remember it had nothing to do with King in Black, but now it's a King in Black tie-in. So,
that sort of thing gets kind of old.
Yeah, I think it was the Captain Britain Corps or something. I was like, oh, God, why is this King in Black?
I know the title you're talking of. I forget what they were calling it, though.
It was something like that.
I was thinking it was something like The Order or something, but that's not right.
Yeah, I didn't get it. So, but it was funny because I remember seeing it solicited, and you see all the British characters, and now you see it solicited 6 months later with King of Black. You're like, why? What happened there?
Yeah. When did issue 4 of Agents of Atlas come out?
I can't remember.
Or Atlantis Attacks, actually.
I think it was last month we talked about it, honestly, because there was that long break of like something like 7 or 8 months, and then issue 4 came out, and now issue 5 came out.
Yeah, I think that was the one that got 2 or 3 issues out before the pandemic, and then
boom,
it's going to be digital only, then it's not. And man, that would have really annoyed me with a few of those digital only things if I'd bought the digital only version only for them to come out in print later.
Yeah, and Eric, being a nice retailer, just kept our order open and shipped it to us. So he would have gotten it anyways.
Yeah.
He's awesome with that. He really follows up.
He's great on that stuff. I love that, yeah.
But that would be funny. The only tie-in I could see to King in Black is there's, in the King in Black series itself, there's some dragon characters, and then we had some Atlantis Attack stuff going on.
Yeah. So far, the only thing I've gotten King in Black is the symbiote Spider-Man stuff, which is clearly a prequel to it.
Yep.
I think I'm getting the Return of the Valkyries.
Oh, me too. I'm getting that because I like that.
Probably the Marauders one that's solicited for in January.
I missed that Valkyrie title. That was one of the ones that went away with COVID.
Yeah, same here.
And I thought it was excellent, and it just made me sad that more people didn't read it because I could have just kept reading it.
Yeah. I think that was a definite loss.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the highlights, the stuff for Marvel.
How many Marvel books did you get? I got 24.
I got quite a bit more than you. I got the flip of you, 42.
Wow.
The numbers. Now, there were about 4 titles in there that did get cut, so that'll be going down a little bit.
Okay. Now, for the other publishers, I only got 18. I'm not getting a whole bunch in this area.
Okay, I got quite a few. That was my biggest one, 52.
Wow, but, okay.
There's a lot of stuff that is finished or canceled in here that I've already canceled. So there's a lot that I have marked in red, canceled. So this took the biggest hit from my pull list.
What percentage or how many of those are premier publishers, IDW, Image, Boom, Dark Horse, and Dynamite, versus not premier publishers?
Oh, gosh.
The
bulk are probably premier, I would say. Actually, I take that back. I would say probably about 70% premier. Because I do get a lot of AWA stuff. I get everything from AWA. I get some Aftershock books, some stuff like that. And I get a Blaze, some good Blaze stuff.
Almost all of mine were Premier. I think I only had one thing that was not.
Oh, okay. All right.
And honestly, if I had to cut that one thing, I could do it pretty easily.
Okay. See, now for me, my highlight, I'm going through here and looking at the scores that I'm giving out right now. And what I think a few of you will be surprised. One was something that we're reading together, The Orville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a highlight for me, too.
I really love that. That title's been excellent. It's like this issue that, you know, the crew member Thorville with the whole Zorro theme.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I thought it was so cool, and there's a nice twist. So I just thought that was such a fun thing, fun read.
It was a good but darkish ending to the story, but that ending kind of fit the Orville property well.
Yeah, it felt like I was watching an Orville episode because I don't have Hulu right now. So I felt like I was watching it by reading the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now the other ones that, okay, you're still getting Firepower, correct?
Yes.
Firepower 6, I really enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
For me, I'm still enjoying it, but it's one that I could fall off of at any point. It's on that issue-by-issue basis for me, but strongly so, if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I found it, I like that we got a lot of answers with the old master.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that, and I like what's going on between the world and the clans. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying it, but I still think he's like one decision I don't agree with away from me dropping the book. I don't know what that decision might be.
You're waiting for it.
I'm not waiting for it, but I'm concerned about it.
Okay. Now, the other things that the other one that was like a real highlight, which is surprising, because I almost canceled the book at one time. Actually, I canceled the book. I contacted Eric. I was like, you know what? Go ahead and add it back, and I'll go ahead and see it through. And it was Oblivion Song. Mm. It got really boring for me in there for a while. I was like, why am I reading this? And then Oblivion Song number 29, I felt like was one of the best issues of the series.
Interesting.
So, it did change a lot. I could say one word and not give the whole plot away, but I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah,
but
don't spoil it. If it's a really good read, let people read it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's something about the worlds that are going on in there, which we discussed. But with one word, I could tell you it changed direction. And remember, he said around issue 30, it would be a different book. It's the same book, but it definitely taking a different tact. So I liked it a lot. So that was kind of cool. Now, there was another one that was, the title of it was so provocative. This was my pick of the month from the indie world. And this was a Ahoy book. But the title's provocative, but the book itself is not. It's called Second Coming, Only Begotten Son, mm-hmm. which people think, oh, religious overtones, this is mocking something. It's not. What this was, it was his telling of basically Superman origin story. And the first, the Second Coming, it was talking about Jesus coming to Earth and mm-hmm. interacting with a Superman-like character. The second book, The Only Begotten, is talking about the only begotten son of this guy from, let's say, a Krypton planet, is being sent as a baby to Earth. So it's about the only begotten son of those people, the Superman, and his life and upcoming and upbringing. So it's really kind of a cool Mark Russell take on Superman, written very clever. So I really enjoyed it. You're actually not even seeing any of that religious stuff in there at all.
Interesting.
So, provocative title, but not a provocative book.
Yeah, yeah. Funny thing is, he probably scared off the people who might have still enjoyed it, but were outraged or whatever by the first miniseries, you know?
Exactly. So,
which, if people are offended by that, I totally can understand why.
Me too. So, if anyone wanted to see what the book was about and not have that other stuff, this is the one, because it's basically a Superman book.
Yeah,
now, the other thing, are you enjoying Seven Secrets still?
Yeah, I'm enjoying that a lot. I thought it was a fun read. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, and if that next issue might be like the end of it or something.
That's what I'm thinking too, because it feels like it's getting kind of wrapped up here a little bit.
It's hard to tell these days what's an ongoing and what's a miniseries, or what was meant to be ongoing but turned into a miniseries, or what was meant to be a miniseries turned into an ongoing. And yeah, I'm enjoying it quite a bit, but yeah, not sure how long it's going to be around.
Now, is there anything you wanted to point out before I point out some highlights that I read? Or
let's see. There's crossover number 2 I thought was a fun read, but kind of it acknowledged the writing isn't that great.
Yeah.
Thought was funny. I'm still enjoying The Walking Dead Deluxe stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're buying all that. It's two issues a month, right?
Yeah, they did 4 and 5 this time, and it's still a solid read, even having read the rest of the series. I'm just not sure how much longer I'll be getting it because I've got from the original series from like 7 on.
Yeah. So is he gonna reprint the whole thing in color?
He'll go for as long as he can.
He has the money to do it.
It's not the first time he's reprinted it.
And people keep buying it.
He did The Walking Dead Weekly for about a year.
Holy mackerel.
It was not in color, though.
Yeah. And now he'll reprint the comics into a nice colored trade. I'm sure there'll be some kind of omnibus or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
he's
that's what I'll
this,
be picking up down the road.
To serialize the colorization, no doubt.
Exactly.
And man, more power to him for being able to do that.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was really good, and two issues of it came out, and hopefully you're getting it, is the Comic Book History of Animation.
I did not get that. I got all the history of comics. I did not get the animation one.
The first issue was a really great overview, I thought, of the early history of animation, kind of pre-Mickey Mouse, and not just animation, but film itself.
Okay.
Because to a certain degree, film is animation.
Yeah.
But then the second issue was almost exclusively about Disney, and it was an interesting but not particularly flattering portrayal of Walt Disney.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know how accurate it is or isn't. I'm willing to go with it's accurate, because I think they do their homework.
He seems to.
And just the being able to do something that's essentially a documentary in comic book format, and it being a good read, I'm impressed with.
Awesome. Man, I guess I missed out.
I think it's worth picking up the history, the comic book history titles.
All right, I'm going to pick it up maybe. All right, you convinced me.
One other to talk about, but I'm not going to say it's a highlight. So what do you got?
Okay, I got a list. I'll go through them pretty quick. Bad Mother number 5 from AWA wrapped up. It was a good series. It was kind of like a little bit telegraphed. You knew it was going to happen, but you could see like a TV show or a movie being made around it. It's they had two human trafficking comics coming out. This was one of them. Mm-hmm. The next one's Sumerian Frost Giant's Daughter, number 1. That was really good, strong start to a new Blaze Euro adaption, Euro comic, much more mature Conan type comic. So I really liked it. We get red haired Asir fighting the dark haired tribes, which is what Roy Thomas was doing in the Marvel anthology series. So it was kind of funny reading that.
That is.
The next one. Okay. This one, I was going to say as another one that could have been a pick of the month or pick of the week, Department of Truth number 4. This is a book that I think everyone needs to read. It's excellent. It's a top seller right now, usually month in and month out. It deals with so many conspiracy theories we see today, birtherism, flat earth, pedophilia, satanic, the stuff that you see people talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You get someone filming the Department of Truth, and it's just a lot of twists and stuff in there. Really cool stories. We also, from I think it was AWA, we got Erratic come out, and that's a new superhero book. So I put in here, I think John would like this. It's not like the most original thing, but it's Kari Andrews is the art and story. A very terrific art, good story writer. And it's about a young kid. He moves in with his mom, hard luck, with his older brother. They're new to the area. The mom's looking for a new job, and he's having tough school life and everything like that. And lo and behold, superpowers appear. So it's that type of a thing. It feels a little all ages without being written for kids.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's E-Ratic, R-A-T-I-C. You might want to check it out.
Okay.
Another one, another brand new... Okay, Once in Future's been decent. Red Sonja 22, we're wrapping up Mark Russell's run in two issues. Post-Americana, brand new series, started off number 1. Good story, not great. We have elites emerge from a bunker. They have a self-appointed president. Mm-hmm. There's people of the wastelands, cannibals, people. It's a weird, post-apocalyptic wasteland. I just enjoyed it. Stoko, I think, did the art on that. The other one that I was going to tell you is Undiscovered Country number 11 is still decent to good book. It's not always great. This issue, we get a tech-heavy colony. So we're learning about the 13 colonies and how they're very different, okay. how they kind of war with each other, things in the Americas. And then the only other two that I'll mention is Unsacred 2, Volume 2, Number 2. Always fun, devil, angel, married. It's a comedy book, more mature comedy book, but it's a lot of fun. And then Year Zero, Number 2, or Volume 2, Number 2, that is from AWA, and that's a zombie. It's taken from the viewpoints of three different characters, and just a lot of fun. I like zombie books.
Cool.
Most everything else is getting cut on this list.
Now, there's one thing that I'm pretty sure you got, although I'm pretty sure you didn't pre-order it either.
Okay.
And that's Solid Blood number 17.
Oh, yeah.
I would not have made it past the first issue of that series, I don't think. And it felt like a complete vanity project for Kirkman. I don't know if there's going to be any other issues of it, be it an 18, a 1, or whatever. I'm highly unlikely to get on it if it does.
I would have given it a C.
That's exactly what I would have gotten it. It felt like 90s... I'm trying to think of a polite way to phrase this.
It's definitely Drek. Yeah, I felt like that too. I was like, and what was weird is, when did they create this?
I'm sure this year. I think they were going with the, here's what would have happened if Walking Dead and Invincible hadn't caught on.
And thank God they caught on, because that would have been horrible. I hate saying that, but it wasn't that great. And he just picked up its issue number 17 and deal in the middle of the story, and definitely 90s superhero type thing that I probably wouldn't have enjoyed.
Yeah. If you're gonna, one, it's cool he's got the ability to just toss stuff out there unannounced and get it out into the market. But if you're gonna do that, is that really what you want to come out with?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Maybe there's people out there that love this, but yeah, it did not work for me at all.
Now, I want to give a big shout out talking about that comic to Eric from Cowabunga, because Eric was really cool, nice retailer. They limited what they got. So the retailers got X amount of copies. They're like, you get this many copies. They didn't even order them. They couldn't control what they were getting. And, you know, we rushed off and said, hey, we'd like to get a copy of this. And he sent us a copy. And I look at these things now on eBay. They're all selling for anywhere from $8 to $20-$30.
And wow.
Which is just insane.
Well, and it's funny because the logo was very much a Youngblood riff.
Yeah, completely. I'm looking at it right now on eBay. It's hilarious. I'm like, buy it now for $29.95. I'm like, this is just insane.
Well, and Sight Unseen is, you know, I was thinking Solid Blood was a code name and it would actually have a different title.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting, because it came out on Christmas, this is going to be another kind of, you know, like Negan's Dead kind of a thing, or Negan's Alive, whatever the Negan thing was. Another Walking Dead kind of a thing to give back to the retailers or something cool like that. And it just felt like a crazy, indulgent story.
Exactly. It was just really weird. It didn't get me excited to read any more of the series.
No. And it wasn't so much, it wasn't bad so much as it just wasn't what I want to read, and it didn't feel of the current age.
I'm glad you shouted that one out, because that was one of the ones that I did not highlight as a highlight, but yeah, it was in my list.
Like I said, it was on my list. I wanted to talk about it, but it wasn't a highlight.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So overall, it was a good month, but I was surprised doing this exercise of going through monthly. I'm cutting more and more stuff. And that's not really the goal of it. It's because I want to get to that point where I'm really enjoying most of everything I'm reading. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be reading stuff month in and month out. So I kind of have this thing. Hey, you know, I go back and I look. Okay, it's been average for the last 3 or 4 issues. And finally I start writing. Maybe it's time to cancel. Canceled. If you've been mediocre to bad for like 3 or 4 months in a row, I really don't need to be reading it.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I went through and kind of pruned my list of active titles, I didn't even bother to look at what I've been rating stuff for the year. It was more a matter of, well, this is over, this is dead, you know, and it was a convenient time to do it because it's like I've pre-ordered everything from Future State, so I don't have a whole lot from DC on my list.
Yeah, it's all new.
You know, it's just what looked interesting out of that January previews, and not even all of that has made it on my list, but some of it is just, I'll think about it.
Yeah. It's also interesting, we're starting to see a lot of the big-name writers, or the, you know, like Snyder, they're going over to Image now, doing vanity projects.
Well, creator-owned versus vanity, I think.
Solid
Blood was vanity.
Oh, yeah, that was complete
vanity. I don't think it has a market. And there's other stuff that I think going creator-owned makes sense for a lot of the reasons Kirkman has espoused.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, as much as I may not like or I may mock something like Solid Blood, the point of the matter is he had both the wherewithal and the clout, the money, the ability to put something like that out there.
And not many people can do that.
You know, he's paid his dues. He's done some really great stuff with Invincible, with Walking Dead, etc. That if he wants to spend, you know, 20 pages on that, okay.
You like have at it.
You know? Yeah, if it was something that had been solicited, though, it would not have been in my collection.
I agree. Yeah, I might have picked it up on the first issue or something, but I imagine by the first arc or maybe even sooner, it probably would have been off.
I'm curious, though, to your point about a lot of these creators going elsewhere, what's going to happen moving forward in terms of do creators, I don't say flock, but migrate towards creator-owned properties so they have control over their destiny? Do they migrate towards corporate-owned stuff for the safety and the steady paycheck? Is it a combination thereof? I do think that the continuing pandemic is a bit of a game-changer in that regard.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see kind of how it plays out.
I'm really interested to see how it plays out. I'm also interested to see what's happening with Warner Media going forward. There's rumors now, and some of the stuff I can see of them actually being auctioned off at the auction block from AT&T, which would actually maybe be a good thing.
Really depends who buys them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could be a good thing. I just think AT&T, their acquisitions have all been train wrecks. They buy high, they sell low, almost with universally across the board.
It'd be interesting if Warner and DC is part of it. One, if it got sold, I can't imagine that they'd sell Superman, Batman, etc. That just doesn't make sense. But if they did that, who would be a good home for that? Because I could see a couple other movie studios and such that would be interesting to add into the property mix.
Yeah.
I'm thinking particularly like Paramount and Universal.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
They've got deep libraries, and there's a lot that could be done. Because, I mean, at that point, there's, yeah, just a ton you could do.
And Universal has the parks. They could definitely compete with Disney.
Definitely, I think there could be some synergy there into a potential Disney-level competition eventually.
Exactly. That could be really cool.
But, and, I mean, at this point, the rumors I'm hearing make me question if DC's even going to be publishing stuff in 6 months.
That's the other part that it worries me. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's not what's going to happen. I mean, worst case, that books get licensed or something.
Could
I
work
hope.
Out. It may not. Don't know. But it was sounding like, from what I was hearing, in addition to the layoffs at the editorial and in-house staff kind of level, it was sounding like around the holidays, a lot of creators were finding that their books weren't in the January solicits, so do they have a job?
That's what I read. They said basically people that were supposed to announce to creator X, Y, or Z that, hey, your book didn't make the cut, you don't have a job, they laid off the managers without telling the people out there working.
I'd read stuff like that, but it was from Bleeding Cool, and it sounded like speculation as to that's what happened. But it did sound like there were a lot of creators hitting up a lot of editors and other publishers of, hey, I'm available.
Wow. So it may actually be true.
Don't know.
Wow. Well, I'm just hoping for the best on the backside of this. Whatever shakes out, hopefully good things come. We just need a better 2021 than we had for 2020 for the comic industry.
I agree. If we can at least get the books out every week, at least every month, that'd be good.
Yeah.
And if they can kind of, you know, get some focus and get stuff out there that we as the readers are excited about. And I think some companies are doing really well with that, others not so much.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, when Rebirth happened, and that's when I came into DC, I was excited. And I was reading some of the books, and they were so good. And I feel like it's kind of waned over the months and years since then. And I want to get that excitement back, because an exciting DC and an exciting Marvel is a good time for all.
Agreed. Agreed. If we were at a point where both Marvel and DC were, you know, hitting home run after home run, and people were really excited, and there was some serious competition and energy at both companies, that not only helps them, it helps everybody in the comic industry, because then there are more eyes and people, you know, going to the comic stores. They may go find that Usagi Yojimbo, or, you know, discover Walking Dead if they'd somehow missed it, or, you know, whatever else is out there.
Exactly. It could be really cool. So, fingers crossed for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
No, just congratulations on your 700th.
Yeah, 700 week. It would have been the weekly comic spotlight, but again, I'm happy doing these back issue spotlights and monthly comic spotlights, so hopefully everyone's still enjoying them.
Me too. Congratulations again.
Thanks.
The February 2021 previews came out on January 27th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 159 is the morning of Saturday, February 6th, 2021. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. And a quick reminder that we've also got the recommendation roundtable episodes going. The point of those episodes is to help people find other ways to spend their time. So send in pics of comic books, either older ones, back issues, trades, whatever, novels, television shows, movies, video games, if there's a board game you think people might really enjoy or something. Let's get that out there. We've got a lot of ways we can spend our time in helping people find things that they might be interested in. It's just a great thing to do. I've gotten a lot of clips from Billy Hogan. I want to thank him for that. It reminded me that I should really go reread Astro City and put a few other things kind of back on my radar, including a couple of novels he recommended. I've added those to my reading list. We'll see when I get to them. But we've got no deadline for these episodes. The way these episodes work is you send in one clip per pick, and that could be a particular book or video game or TV show, or it could be a series of books, anything that's kind of a unified thing. And when I get enough of those clips, I'll string them together, I'll kick out an episode. So that means if I get tons of clips, like when Billy sent me about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes of some great clips, that was enough for me to get two episodes put together, about an hour for one and about 45 minutes or so for the other. So that's what episodes 2 and 3 are. But if I don't get clips, it may be a while before that next episode comes out. And the reason I'm doing this is there are a lot of things hitting, like the streaming services and stuff like that, on not really a set cadence like we've got for the preview spotlight. So if you wake up one morning and say, you know what, there's a bunch of stuff I think people might enjoy, spend a few minutes, send in the clips, they get in the queue. And if it's another few months before you do the next one, that's great. But hopefully we have enough people sending in clips on a regular enough basis that we can be putting one of these episodes out every month, every other month, or something like that. So once again, the point here is just to recommend older comic books, novels, television shows, movies, video games, or anything else that doesn't really fit the format of the preview spotlight, but that you really want to kind of share your love of and encourage other people to check out. So once again, there's no deadline on those recommendation roundtable clips. It's an open invitation for everybody at all times. So please send in clips when you've got something you're thinking about, and share the love. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.